Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We've been in a series that I've tried to give a catchy title to so as to bait people to come and listen to the message, because we found that if the titles are better, it just gets more traction on social media. But whether we get a lot of likers or not, I could care less. I'm just trying to reach as many people as we can. And so we've called it the Cloak of Glory. We've talked about the mantle of Elijah and how it was passed on to the next generation. And we've been talking about the power of God being passed on from generation to generation. And what stirred us to look at these verses of Scripture, again, we've preached on similar, well, we've preached on these texts many times before in the course of my pastoring for many years. But Jane Hammond, prophetess Jane Hammond, came at our power conference and she gave us a decree. And if you would please, Mr. and Mrs. Media, would you please put that on the screen? Because I'd like to read it together with you. There's something about making a decree that brings tremendous change. And you'll see decrees like the Cyrus decree, and proclamations are so important. And you'll see government leaders make proclamations, and God makes proclamations. And when God gives you a word from the Lord to make a proclamation, to make a decree with, it has power. And so on the screen behind me is the decree. And I want you to find these words, and we're gonna read them right out loud and say it from your heart. Are you ready? Right from the top. Ready, set, go together. We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We are making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla throughout this state. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers and curse destroyers because the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved, bodies will be healed, families will be reconciled, prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say, in your name we decree it all. Can you shout a big hallelujah? Can you shout a little bit louder? Come on, come on. Breakthrough, blessing, salvation, healing, double portion mantle. And so this decree started us on this journey that I've called the Cloak of Glory. And I think we're like five messages in this series. This particular text has special meaning to me, and we're gonna read it all together. So you do have notes, and if you don't and you'd like them, lift a hand and one of our ushers will bring that to you, and then we're gonna get to the text. Turn in your Bibles, please. Very good, turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. Stand up on your feet, which are hopefully shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. Are you ready? One day Elijah went to Shunem, New International Version. A well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped by there to eat. She said to her husband, I know this man who often comes our way as a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him, that he can stay there whenever he comes to us. And one day Elijah came and went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her and she stood before him. Elijah said to him, tell her, notice he's not even talking to her. He says to his servant, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak to you, speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her, Elijah? Elisha asked Gehazi, said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. Nice. Verse 15. Then Elijah said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. And about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, oh man of God. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. The child grew and one day went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father, and his father told his servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed, that's the prophet's bed, the man of God, and shut the door and went out. And she called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why? Go to him today, he asked. It's not a new moon or a Sabbath. It's all right, she said. Verse 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on and don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set on out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her at a distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is a Shunammite. Run and meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything's all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. And Gehazi came and pushed her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? And Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak in your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, don't greet him. If anyone greets you, don't answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face, verse 30. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. I'm sure that sounded familiar to him. It's the same thing he said to his master before he was taken away in the chariots of fire. So he got up and he followed her, and Gehazi went on and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. Gehazi went back to meet Elijah and told him, the boy has not awakened. And when Elijah reached the house, there was a boy lying dead on the couch. And he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And when he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, he stretched himself out upon him. The boy's body grew warm. Elijah turned away and walked back and forth in the room. And he got back on the bed, stretched out upon him once more, and the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And Elijah summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. And she came in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Oh God, what a text. Move in great power tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would mark us, each and every one, that the words of my mouth, God, would burn faith in the hearts of your people because it would be your words. And even as the words of Samuel, when he prophesied, none of them fell to the ground, I pray, God, put a grace upon me yet again, that as I preach, it would burn faith, supernatural faith, to release fight in the heart of your people and all those that'll listen at a later date, all those online, from Ketchikan to Barrow, to Point Hope, all across Alaska, all across America. Awaken your bride. Release fresh boldness and zeal to fight for the promise. In Jesus' name, I want you to say, I'm going to fight for my promise. Ready, set, go. Come on, say it again. I'm going to fight for my promise. Turn to the person next to you and said, get ready. And turn to the other person and said, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Come on, say, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then you may be seated. I don't know how you handle disappointments. I handle them now in a different way than I did when I was first saved, because I learned that God's going to bring me through. I've been through more trials and challenges, maybe not as many as you, you know, maybe more. I don't know. It's not a trial test. It's not about pride of how much you've suffered. But the truth is, God will teach you things when you go through stuff. If you get, come on, yay, 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 yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The thing is, some of you pitched your tent in the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have given up on your dream. Some of you have had hopes and visions and dreams that have been dashed upon the rocks, and you're deeply disappointed, and you're like, well, what do I do now? The truth is that God will always come through. If it was God, if it's God's dream, if it's God's word, if it's God's promise, it will always come to pass. Not necessarily when you want it, but it will always come to pass if you don't faint, if you don't quit, if you don't throw in the towel. How do you handle disappointment when you're dealing with a dream, when you're dealing with a vision? We came up so much disappointment, you know, I'm using the building as an illustration again, but there's many illustrations we could use, many disappointments. We wanted to be in here the first year we started the project. 7.5 years later, here we are. I'm so glad we're here. Come on, somebody say, praise the living God. Come on, praise the living God. And there were many times where it was just disappointing, like delayed windows on outside of, you know, Long Beach on a barge, doors that were lost, things that were ordered, then they say we didn't. It's all kinds of trials with the supply chain. I mean, on and on and on. Financial difficulties, on and on and on. Obstacles, difficulties, times when we thought, well, if God doesn't come through, we're dead. And there was at least a half a dozen times like that, some of which you were aware of, most of which you weren't, because they didn't want you to freak out, and it just wasn't time to tell you. We just had to contend. We had to fight. You got to fight for the promise. I want you to say that. I'm going to fight for my promise. So when disappointment comes, understand that there's things that happen in your life, that happen in my life, that happen in life that you don't understand. Well, why not? Because you're not God, and you never will be. No matter what the New Age guru says, you're never going to be God. You're not God. You will never understand all things. You're not a God that forgot he was God. You're not God. He created you. He is the creator. He's not the former creator. He took the hammer of creation, struck the anvil of time, caught the sparks, threw them out, and they're all the stars, and he knows every one of them by name. He knows they say they're missing stars. Only scientists say they're missing. He knows where they are. He said, let there be light, and we still have it. Well, there's things that happen that we don't understand, and when that happens, how do you respond? I throw myself on the goodness of God, knowing that God is good. The devil is bad. Say that. God is good, devil bad. Try it. Stick your thumb out. Say, God is good, devil bad. So, I don't understand. And I don't have to. I've settled it already. God is good. Power belongs to him. He's going to fulfill his plan, and I don't understand. And his conviction, his power will come upon me where I need to repent, where I need to change, where I need to turn. As many times we mess up our own selves. So things happen, I don't understand. Looking at this text, let's move quickly here. Elijah received this inherited anointing from his master, Elijah, symbolized by the mantle or this cloak of glory. And it's a picture of how the Holy Spirit works. It's a picture of the calling of God. This is a quick review. It's a picture of the calling of God. It's a picture of identity. The mantle is a picture of the prophet. And Elijah is now in his stead. He asked for the double portion. If you go and study his life, Elijah did 7 miracles. Elisha did 14. Thank you, Pastor Vince, on the front row. 14 miracles, hence double. And so Elisha is in Shunem. There's this well-to-do woman, the text says. She's wealthy. Her and her husband are wealthy. And her wealth was not able to produce her deepest desire. And I will tell you that wealth, no matter how much you have of it, will never produce the deepest desire of your heart, no matter how much you have. So if you think money's the answer to your problems, wrong, it's not. It's not. Money's a tool. You need it. God uses that. It's a test. All of that. But money was not answering her heart's cry, which is that she would have a child. And we see this later on. The woman, knowing that Elijah was a man of God, makes room for her. I preached a message not long ago on this text about making room for the anointing, making room for God. And so she does that. You've made room today. How? You came to church tonight. You came to church to hear whatever was going to be preached, to come into worship, to lift your hands. Hopefully you came the more in looking at our beautiful building. You came to love God. But for whatever reason you're here, if you came to find a wife, that's a good thing. Just don't make that the main thing. You came to find a husband. What better place to find a husband than in church? Amen. If you came and you're visiting and you want to cast out devils, don't do that because you'll be dealing with me shortly thereafter. That's reserved for people who are authorized to do that in this house. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you think Christians can have demons? A Christian can have anything he wants to have. You want to be demonized? Just start sinning. And you'll open the door to the devil. So yes, are people getting delivered here? Every single service. Did you cast out devils today? I did. Did you? Yes. It's a part of Christianity, but do not come in here and don't let anybody, I'm just telling you, don't let anybody introduce themselves to you and say you have a devil. You just blow the whistle. You can freak out. I will come running, as will security. Don't do that in here. You'll have a big problem with me. I'm really nice until you start messing with my people, then we have a problem. And if that's you, I'd love to get to know you. Please stop me after the service, or you can email the church, or you can call 907-357-2065. I will take you out to lunch and we can gather together and talk and worship God and make a plan for that powerful anointing that God wants to have on your life to release it healthy under authority. Lift your hands and say hallelujah to the Lord. Come on. Sounds like you're talking to somebody. Sure does. Amen. Where are we? Okay, so she builds a house. She makes room. She decides to build on the roof of their house a small room for this man of God to stay. And Elijah wanted the rewarder. He wanted that. Come on, you bless God, God will bless you. I was talking to my brother today. He might be online. He got fired from his job in Costa Rica. Had this high-powered job. And on the side, he teaches surfing. So he's allowed to do that, I guess, you know, as a part of his job. He meets somebody there, and it's this head person, you know, head Yoganandi type person, and they want to learn how to surf, so they go surfing. He's teaching the person, and they said, hey, tell me about your faith. So he straight witnesses. He doesn't lead her to Christ, just tells her about the love that he has. Jesus is my best friend, talks about salvation, whole thing, gets fired. When he told me, I started laughing. I said, oh, dude, how awesome. He's like, what? I'm like, yes, you've been persecuted. When you act, come on, some of you thought you were persecuted because he's a fish on the back of your truck and somebody cut you off and you thought that was persecution. He lost his job because he witnessed. Wow. Watch what the Lord does for that young man. God is going to do great. God will bless you if you don't lift your voice and take it under your own cause and put your hands on it. You just pray, turn the other cheek, and let God reward you. There are problems and challenges, but you can't outgive God. She and her husband made room. The man of God moved in, blessed him. Apparently he could cook. She could cook, pardon me. Because you know he wouldn't have come back if her food, the chicken tastes like wood. She would not come back. He would not come back, pardon me. And so so Elijah wanted the rewarder. And so Gehazi calls her, and you heard the text. He finds out he has no son. And Elijah prophesies within a year she'll be holding a son. And she objected. It was too good. I don't know if you've been in that position. You'll see throughout Scripture different times, like when Joseph sends word to his father that he's alive. And Isaac, or Israel, I should say, Israel is like, no, no, stop, stop, stop it. It was so good that he couldn't even believe it. There's times when the presence of God comes, the power of God comes, and it's just like, man, it's just too good to be true. That's the way it is for her. That's why she says stop. Her husband was old. Do we need to define that? Y'all taking biology class? He's old. Kind of an Abraham and Sarah situation. Beyond years. In other words, no, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, he's old, and there's no possibility of them having children except God. Everybody say, except God. She becomes pregnant. Time passes by. She gives birth. Time passes. Child grows. Tragedy strikes, and the child dies. And we don't know how old the child is, but old enough to run around, and the dad is out there with the reapers, which is a picture of the harvest. I have another message I've preached on this called A Headache in the Harvest. Headache in the harvest. So the boy has, his head hurts, and it could be dehydration. It could be any number of things. We don't know. It doesn't say, because it doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you, whatever diagnosis, hole in your eardrum, whatever diagnosis they've given you, they're just practicing medicine, and many times they're guessing. And no matter what diagnosis you get, God is bigger still. And so no matter what they get, what report you've gotten, his report, I'm going to believe that one. How about you? However, in this case, the boy dies. And she takes the boy upstairs, and she does it. It's this principle of what to do when your promise seems to have died. She takes the promise, takes the boy upstairs, and lies him in the prophet's room. And either the prophet's room was going to be a tomb, or it was gonna be a womb. It was gonna be either one. Either the boy was gonna get up or the boy was gonna die, but she was gonna bring that back. I didn't believe this already. God, this miracle came from you. I'm giving the miracle back to you. You know, sometimes you have to let things just go to the hands of God. But there was more for her to do, and there's more for us to do in the midst of that as well. So she seeks out Elijah, and Elijah is used by God to bring the boy to life. And it's really this so profound disappointment. In the midst of disappointment, she's able to dig deep and run to God. And I know so many people that do not know how to do that. And so there, they have a promise that's lying on a couch and is seemingly dead, but they don't know how to do the rest of it. I'm going to teach you tonight on how to fight for your promise. You have to fight for your promise. And so many people have a 50-cent view of the promises of God. Well, God knows my name. That's true. He knows where I live. That's also true. He knows my rising up. He knows my setting down. That's true. And if he wants to come and help me, no, 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 no. That's where you've missed it. If he wants to come and help you, raise your hand if you believe God can do anything. Okay, that's everybody here. Come on, or you're not going to raise your hand no matter what. Everyone here believes that God can do anything. But many people don't know that God is willing. Many people don't know that God is willing. He not only can do it, he's willing and he wants to. So why didn't it happen then? Because faith moves the hand of God, not need. Faith moves God, not need. And we don't know what kind of opposition is up against this boy. And I've said it before in preaching this text, but the truth is that what many believe is that this boy that's dead on the couch, of course he gets raised up, becomes none other than Jonah. And it does line up. If you look at the location and Jonah and all that, it could very well be Jonah. Jonah. You know, the reluctant prophet. But Jonah preached and a city of 100,000 people came to Christ. Old Testament understanding. Came to salvation in an Old Testament way. Don't freak out on me. I'm tired. It's been a long day. I might produce some word salads, but not nearly like others. I pray. In Jesus' name, help me, oh God. Careful. How many of you know what a word salad is? Well, okay, so you got to fight for your promise. You have to fight for your promise. She laid the boys in the boy in the prophet's room. I love the second point right in your notes. She didn't go on Facebook and tell all her prayer warrior friends. And I'm into prayer warriors, and I'm into friends, and I'm into sharing prayer requests. Amen. When we had COVID, we put word out, pray for Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen. He's got double pneumonia. He's got COVID. Pray, God heal him. And God did. And I'm all for that. But sometimes you go through things and you're so quick to go to social media instead of go to the throne. And this picture of her, now there's a different, you know, she's not born again. It's not a believer like we would understand a believer today in the New Testament. But she went to God. She didn't even talk to her husband. And you got to wonder, this guy was not the sharpest tool in the shed. I've been insensitive like many a husband can be. Husbands can be dull, and we're designed that way. It's really good for war. It's really good for dealing with somebody who might attack you or, you know, try to break into your home. It's really good for hunting and violence and things like that. War, it's good. It's good. It's good to be dull. It's not good for marriage. So you need to learn to get undullified. Is that a word? De-dullified? I don't know. You need to learn to be sensitive, but not feminine, for God's sake. Amen. Sensitive. All the men, lift your hands right now. Father, help us, oh God. Help us. Help us to speak womanese, but not like a woman, like a man. Help us to understand. And help our wives, oh God. Ladies, lift your hands. Help our wives to understand that we are different. And we're really not all that deep. But we are unique and made in your image as well. So God help us. But this guy, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, because can you imagine if your son dies, God forbid, but if your son dies, and then you go to talk to your husband, you think you would have some discernment like, hey, are you okay? Uh-huh. Oh, all right. What's for dinner? No, I'm going to go. Can I have a donkey? Yeah. Hey, get her a donkey. Anything else? Okay, I'm going back. Where's my, you know, let me go back to work. He doesn't even notice his son is dead. He can't see on her countenance. Some of you should just pause, try to look a little bit deeper. Anyway, Bubba here. Bubba like gets back to the harvest, work gets back to his job, but she doesn't try to solicit sympathy. Listen, the last thing you need is somebody feeling sorry for you. Listen, I've been through seasons of my life where I solicited sympathy. And it was just because I wasn't healed. And I suppose there's still times when I want my wife to just, you know, oh, no, it's all right. I'm like that. But if you're trying to do that for somebody else, you're jacked. I'm glad for the comfort of my spouse. And if you're single, you can get that from the Lord. And you thought I was going to crack a joke, but I'm not. God can comfort you in the midst of your singleness. While you're waiting for your husband, while you're waiting for your wife, while you're going to be single, if you're called to be single the rest of your life, he will walk with you. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. All jokes aside, it's beautiful. That's the way that is. And ladies, you can receive comfort from your husband. And husband, you ought to learn how to comfort your wife and listen to her stories as long as they might be. And be patient and kind and listen. And just keep listening and listen some more and just try to focus and put your phone down and listen. And when you're done listening, keep listening and try not to solve all her problems. If she wants you to solve the problem, she will ask you to solve the problem, then move in problem solving. God, I'm gonna lay hands on myself right now. Jesus! You have a dull husband spirit. I bind it now. Come out. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Where are we? But she doesn't try to solicit the sympathy. And I've known many people, including myself, I would try to get sympathy. And I was really good at it early on in my walk. And it doesn't bring solutions. Gathering sympathizers doesn't produce miracles. And it doesn't raise the dead, for God's sake. It's not going to turn things around. You might feel the comfort, human comfort, for a while, but it doesn't bring breakthrough. It doesn't raise the dead. It doesn't cause the sun to stand still. It doesn't release strength. It doesn't release power. It doesn't release provision. It doesn't release anything but human sympathy. And Jesus wasn't moved with sympathy, ladies and gentlemen. Brethren, Jesus was not moved with sympathy. Sympathy is like, aw, that's bad. I feel so sorry for you. Genuinely. A genuine, I feel sorry for you. Compassion? Very different word. Jesus was moved with compassion, which is he feels your pain, he feels my pain, and then compassion is a word that has action to it. So it feels your pain, understands what you're going through, and moves to do something, moves to bring change. I felt like I needed to go back to the don't solve your wife's problem thing. Sometimes you just need to hear, and they precious women made in God's image as well, need to just vent and just let some steam off. And if they want to you to solve the problem, and you can ask them, do you want me to help to fix that? That many times they'll say, no, I just want you to hear me. And you go, okay. And you listen. I should listen to my own advice. Jesus, help me. I'm trying. This is the right way. She doesn't try to reel her husband in about feeling sorry, even though his own son is dead. That's kind of intense. And she goes to the man of God, and she clings to Elijah. And you see Gehazi is seemingly rude. The usher pushes her off. It's kind of a joke, but she clings to the man of God. You were not allowed to touch him. That's a cultural no-no. You don't touch the man of God. You don't wrap your arms around his feet. Don't do that. And so he goes and he goes to push her off. And she was fighting for a miracle. She was desperate. You know, desperation, when it's sincere, when you're really broken and you're really thirsty and you're really desperate and you don't care what anybody thinks about you, you just don't care. It's a different cry. I've seen people pull the Pete Rose in on the altar. You know what I mean? They just come in. Pete Rose, or dating myself a little bit, but I've been that. I had to get to the altar as fast as I could. Come sliding in, because the only one that could deliver me, the only one that could help me, was God. And if you'll get hold of that, then you'll quit trying to get sympathizers. And you'll get the one who has filled with compassion will come and change you. And people can be filled with compassion too. I'm not just saying that they're not. But she's fighting for a miracle. She clings to Elijah. And you see this triumph of persistent faith. And I want to tell you tonight, don't quit. Amen. Quit is a four-letter curse word in my family. We don't believe in quitting. We don't know how. Amen. Because God doesn't quit. It's never over. You know when it's over? When you're dead. And then even then, we have the millennial reign. Some of the promises maybe you're contending for, is it possible they're going to be fulfilled in the millennial reign? Yes. I mean, theologically, I don't see anything to argue against that. I really don't. And it kind of makes sense to me. I've got so many prophetic words. I got 8-track tapes. I got cassette tapes. I got MP3s. I got MP4s. I got stacks, mad stacks of prophetic words. Anybody else? And I have God's word to measure all of those and to stand on for my promise. If you want to see the promises of God come about, you're going to have to get some gumption. You're going to have to get some grit. You're going to have to learn to fight. And this triumph of persistent faith is seen, and you see it throughout the Bible. Sadly, though, it's not present in many marriages. Sure is quiet in here. I'm concerned about that in our culture, where people just have a view that they can just trade up or trade, you know, just get a new model, man or woman, just trade in. Didn't work out. She didn't understand my ministry. I've heard fools say that. I've heard of people that were in the ministry say foolish things like that. Well, she wasn't with me. I had to, you know. I've seen people sacrifice their marriages on the altar of the church. Did you understand what I just said? I've seen people sacrifice their walk and their calling for personal idolatry for their spouse, make family an idol. Oh, you can make family an idol too. But I've seen people go through things and they quit. Don't you ever quit. Don't you quit. Now, our reasons for divorce, another message, but I am concerned about marriages in our culture. I mean, real marriages, not a real marriage is not a man and a man. A woman and a woman is not a real marriage. And no matter what the government says, it's impossible biblically for that to be actually called a marriage, so it's not. They've tried to steal the name along with the rainbow. Woman with the issue of blood, another biblical example. By Levitical law, she shouldn't even have been in public. And she just, you know, there's times where there's a higher law at work. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, she pressed in. It's this faith. It's this determination. It's this persistence. If I could touch the hem of his garment. Oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years suffered at the hands of many, many physicians. She spent all that she had. She's healed because of her persistent faith. Do you have faith like that? Do you have faith like that? Do you have faith like Bartimaeus? I don't know why we call him blind, because he ain't blind no more. Bartimaeus is seeing Bartimaeus. We call him blind Bartimaeus, but blind Bart got his eyesight. And there were many people in the story of blind Bartimaeus. There were many that said, shut up. Even the disciples said, will you be quiet for God's sake? There's a cry from the heart of faith that will stop God in the midst of a crowd. He will hear the cry of faith, and he will turn and call your name, and he will release the blessing, the power, the breakthrough. But you have to fight for it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he cried out all the more, and religion says, shh, shh, shush. We did have a lady in the church years ago that would cry out in service. She called it the mighty shout, and the precious ladies in heaven. And I do believe there's a mighty shout, but she was off on her timing just a little bit. And she would release the mighty shout of the Lord. Some of you know who it was. She's in heaven now. We'll see her later. Very dear to my heart. And she would release the mighty shout at times when it was not time to shout. Like, I mean, can you imagine, you know, it's this sweet presence of the Lord and everybody's worshiping and all of a sudden, ah, no! We had police officers in a service that thought there was some kind of, like having an aneurysm or something, they were to hurry up and run over there and give her the Heimlich. But one officer was a part of our church back then that had come regularly, and the other one was first time he was here. And so the officers, for the one that was first time, starts going. The other person stopped him and said, no, that happens sometimes. It's one of those churches. He's like, never had his hands raised again. He was just in attack mode from right there. Orange. He was orange. I think they call it security guys now. But there is a shout. There is a shout, a cry of desperation. And it doesn't even have any noise. It comes deep down from your inner being. It comes deep down from your spirit, man. A cry of desperation, a wail, a travail, until God comes and intervenes. And that's what this lady had. And I will tell you, When you get the promises of God deep down in your soul, deep down in your spirit, and in your mind, and you renew your mind, and you understand what God's will is, when things come to contradict that, come to try to kill your dream, there will come rising up on the inside of you a cry like that. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily have any noise. It's a cry of faith. And it's ugly. It doesn't look good. It's not cute. Snot running. Crying, stumbling. I've seen people kick their shoes off because they're like, they know they're on holy ground. I mean, crying. When you see somebody going after resurrection power like that, it releases the power of God. Blind Bartimaeus got his eyes back. The Syrophoenician woman is another example. She comes. You know, as a father, you mess with my daughter. We're going to have a problem. Come on, any fathers that have daughters? Yeah. If you have a son, if you mess with my son, especially, you know, I've told this story, but you mess with my son, you mess with one of my kids, and then, you know, there's another side. And I'm praise God, I'm not going to lose my sanctification, but I also, I'm not going to be a pushover. I'm not going to allow somebody to hurt my kids. I remember years ago being in a McDonald's. And one of my kids was in that little bouncing, not that little ball thing. You know those little balls? They probably don't have it now because it's a super spreader or something. I don't know. I think it builds your immunity anyway. And then all these little balls, you know, and you can go through the chutes and slides. And it's only for kids. No adults in there. And then you get in this little holding area, and it's got nets, and there's balls, and you know, this little, I think there's an age limit, so I don't know, maybe my child was, you know, seven, six, sitting in there, wee, and there's other kids. And I see, I'm eating my Big Mac, I'm sitting there eating my Big Mac, looking at my child inside the balls, and I see this other giant kid. And he comes up to my child, grabs them by the back of the hair, full head of hair, pulls the head back, and it gets one shot in. Let me tell you, by the time he reloaded, I don't know what happened to my Big Mac. I'm certainly smeared inside the chutes and ladders because a giant, 265-pound bald guy was like, hey, right in his face. He's like, and he just peed himself, you know, and then the parents are like, what are you doing? I'm like, if your son hits my kid again, we're going to have a serious problem. I didn't touch him. I scooped my kid up. I said, and then I realized, I'm inside the cage where you're only like 12 and under is allowed to be in there or whatever it is. That's the way the Lord is. I said, that's the way the Lord is. If you'll cry in the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of your death experience, God will come like that. Come on, man is made in his image. I can't help myself. There's a cry coming from my kids. I'm going to come and running. I would happily jump in front of anything, any bullet, any train. I'd push them out of the way. It wouldn't even be a thought process. It would have already happened. They would be living and I'd be in heaven. May that never be the case, but that is the way the Lord is. That's why he was crucified. He was crucified so that you could be free, so that you could be healed, so the promises of God can I preach up in here? He was crucified so you don't have to be sick, so you don't have to be bound, so you don't have to be addicted. He was crucified so that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was crucified for you, for me, so that we could have life and life to the full. And if you'll learn to cry out to God, he will come. I'm a running. Can you say amen? Amen. Woo! My. So many stories about persistent faith. Faith, an aspect of faith is it is persistent. If you quit, then it was that's where your faith stopped. But it's taking so long. Oh, stop. Stop. You're in time. He's outside of time. Just trust him. Just trust God. I've been waiting for a particular promise for, oh, I don't know, 28 years. It's happening. When? Oh, I don't know. Maybe will happen. Maybe tonight. Maybe tomorrow morning. What is it? It's none of your business. I've been sworn to secrecy. Been around long enough, you know what it is, but I felt like the Lord has encouraged me to just keep my mouth shut. When it comes to pass, you'll see me running, you'll see me screaming. I'm running and screaming already. Come on, God's word is true. He's going to do it. All right. Luke 18 is this picture of the woman and the unjust judge. And this beautiful section, set of scripture where it says towards the end of Luke 18, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Persistence and faith go together. So if you feel like you want to quit, just keep coming to service, have hands laid on you, rebuke it. Get around some people that don't know how to quit, like me, like my staff, my pastors, my leaders. We don't know how to quit. We're not the quitting type. We didn't sign up to quit. We've already won. I've seen the back of the book. I won. We won. We win. All we have to do is just keep keeping on. As the mother in the church said all those years ago, how you doing, son? I said, fine, mama. I said, you keeping on? She says, uh-huh. She says, well, you keep keeping on then. Everybody say, you keep keeping on. You keep going to church, you keep reading your Bible, you keep tithing, you keep praying, you keep living holy, you keep standing, you keep agreeing, you keep laying hands on the sick. You keep doing with the stuff that we're called to do, and you will see the power of God manifested in your life. Can you say hallelujah? All right, so the Holy Spirit works through those who are persistent, who persist, who persevere. And you'll see the Holy Spirit use both the perseverance of the woman who didn't quit, who didn't go on Facebook, who didn't try to get sympathizers, who ran to the one who gave her the word. It went back to the man of God, went back to God. It's a picture of going to God with it. And you see the persistence of the prophet. The woman wouldn't leave until Elijah came to the room and was with her son. And Elijah and his servant, he sent his servant in his place. But sometimes, you know, there's things, I've seen it even recently, there's things that'll turn. If you send someone who you deploy or someone you empower or a delegate, I'm going to tell you, certain things don't turn until I show up. I don't know why that is. Some of you haven't showed up. You need to show up. Does that make sense to you? It's just certain things change. And so he sends his disciple, but nothing happens. And he follows this Elijah pattern. Elijah's similar, stretches himself out on the dead. All right. It's this picture, like he prays. Well, let's look at the text. Where are we here? Look with me. Gehazi went ahead, verse 31. Verse 32, Elijah reached the house where the boy was lying dead in his couch. He went in, he shut the door. That'll preach. And you look at how many people shut the door. Jesus shut the door. He kicked out the mocker. He kicked out the scoffer. Then he raises the widow's, Jairus' daughter. I'm going to tell you many times, a mocker and the scoffer got to go in your life. And until they go, you're not going to see the kind of release. What if I'm married to her? What if I'm married to him? Pray. That's your ministry. Believe God. Be more like Jesus. She'll turn. He'll turn. Be more like Christ. Quit being such a know-it-all. Quit being disrespectful and angry and bitter all the time. Come on. Comb your hair, if you have it. Act like a gentleman. Love them like Christ loved the church. And watch it turn. Shut the door. Two of them, they prayed to the Lord. Just the two of them. That's the dead person and Elijah. He then got on the bed. So when he prayed, in other words, nothing happened when he prayed. So then what does he do? He levels up. He gets on the bed, upon the boy, mouth to mouth. And don't get weird on me here. There's nothing weird about this. Eyes to eyes, hands to hands, stretched himself out. The boy's body became warm. So Elijah turned away and walked around. So the boy's body becomes warm. Now he's either supernaturally warm or it's warm because Elijah's body warmed the child. But he gets up like that's over and he starts pacing back and forth. Come on, God. Raise that boy from the dead. Come on, Jonah. Come on, Jonah. Come on. 100,000 people waiting for Jonah to rise. You don't know what's on the other side of your resurrected dead miracle. You have a promise that's dead. You do not know what will happen if you see that thing get up. If you persist. Come on, somebody say, I'm gonna persist. Where are we? Verse. Thank you very much. Elijah turned away and walked back and forth. It's a picture of this pacing intercessor. Back and forth in a room, he got on the bed and he stretched himself out once more. The boy sneezed 7 times. I mean, that had to be pretty encouraging. That's just 3. There's 4 more. Pretty encouraging. The boy, a dead thing sneezing. And the boy gets up and there's this restoration. God speaking to us very simply, do not give up. Don't give up. Bump your neighbor and say, don't do it. Don't give up. Bump your other neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Quitters never quit and quitters never win. Dr. David taught me that years ago. But why? Why has it happened? I don't know. Sometimes we know, other times we don't know. I just know, don't quit. Because you're not going to get anything up out of the dead if you quit. He could have said, well, you know, she's dead. Don't let the devil rob you. Fight. Everybody say fight. Pastor Gil started it. Fight. Fight. Fight for your miracle. Fight for your breakthrough. Fight for your promise. The promises of God are the basis by which we pray, but you get in those things and you take hold of them and you press. You press and you fight. How come it doesn't just happen? I don't know. Sometimes it does, other times it doesn't, and I have no idea. You're fighting against, we were not against flesh and blood, that's clear. We understand that. Sometimes God's working things in you. I've found many times while I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm fighting, that God does things in me that could no way be done unless I had to work through that and contend. I've said it before, I'm so glad it took us 7 years. On one hand, I'm glad. Why is that? Put something in us. Put something in me. For anybody that's been around, you got some grit. We're like, I remember when. Yeah, I remember when too. And look, I walked in. I think it's happening most services when I walk in. I walked in, I said to Mike, looked at the place, pretty full of people. I said, how did this happen? How did this happen? Through persevering people who don't have sense enough, according to the world, to quit. This world doesn't know much. If you're gonna see your dreams fulfilled, you better grow a spine. You better get some gumption from the power of the Holy Spirit. Learn to fight. Learn to fight with the word. Learn to fight in prayer. Learn to fight through your actions. Learn to fight. Fight for your dream. Contend for your dream. And then lastly, don't settle for disappointment, worship team. Don't settle for that. What do you mean? I'm just telling you, don't give up. Don't put a time date stamp on your promise. No, it didn't come to pass yet. He said, well, my husband is old. That's the case with her. But God can breathe on things and he can change things. I've been reminded as I was praying, and I'm reminded again, it's the Holy Spirit showing me something. And I have to paraphrase and give generalities. It's in the book of Genesis, and the story is Abraham. He tries to help God out with the encouragement of his wife, who probably bumped her head earlier in the day, we're not sure, but he ends up sleeping with Hagar and she has Ishmael. And in the course of time, the miracle comes. I need to go look and see exactly. She's eventually, Hagar and Ishmael are sent off. You have to leave. She takes a skin of water, or I don't know if it's water or wine, but she takes a skin of, you know, in the desert, something to hydrate. Water, and they head off, and she's gone. So you read the story about her. They get to the place where the water's gone. And she can't stand. She cannot stand to hear her baby cry. She can't start. The child is dying. So she puts Ishmael off at a distance and she goes, I think the language is about a bow shot away. Some people can shoot a bow longer than others, but it's a distance as far as an arrow can be shot. And she goes off and she sits down and she just couldn't handle. Do you know what it's like to hear a child cry like that? Dying of dehydration, no food, no water. It's over. It's over. So they're dying. That's the picture. And she cries out to the Lord, and an angel comes and says, get up and go pick up your child. And she gets up and she goes and she picks up Ishmael. And when she does, her eyes are opened and she sees this oasis water. She sees a well. And again, I'm paraphrasing, so you can go look it up. Some of you must listen to me. Go back and pick up your dying dream. Go back and pick up the thing that God gave you, that you thought it was dead. It seemed like it was dead. There's no money. I just got to put it over there. I can't do that anymore. Let God empower you. Her eyes were not opened until she went back. Many times dreams are they're for a season that you hope that it was in, but it's for another season. And we don't, like I said, we don't understand. And as a word from the Lord to you, some of you have given up on that dream. He said, well, what dream? Well, I'm not talking to you then. I'm talking to the ones that instantly be like, that one. Go wrap your arms around that thing and pick it up. And watch God begin to provide again. Don't you quit. Don't cave into disappointment. Don't throw in the towel. Don't curse God. Oh, it didn't happen yet. Stop. Who are you? You're not God. You gotta, it's 19 minutes of the hour. It should have happened by now. Really? Einstein? Really? You don't know how planets don't crash into each other? We really don't know much. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, Lord, release your power. Release your power right now. The moments that remain, release your power upon your people. God's not done yet. No, he's not. No, he's not. Don't you quit. Don't you fret. Don't you turn back. Don't you turn back. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. I'm going to help you, says the Lord. I'm breathing upon you. Receive strength from heaven tonight. Sing something, Minister Micah.
Every victory is yours. Every victory is yours. You rose. You reign. Death is buried in the grave. Hell cannot defy your name. You rose. You
I want to share this story because it's going to help somebody. My wife and I, when we got married, we took all of our funds that we got for our wedding and we purchased classes to go into ministry. We made a deal. We had 2 cents to rub together and a whole lot of love that hasn't waned. It's only gotten stronger. And we took that money and we bought $1,100 worth of classes. And got to go through those miraculously. If you know me, you understand that. And there came a time when we really thought like we should, I can't tell you how I longed just to be in full-time ministry. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to help God's people everywhere. I wanted to do it every day of the week. I couldn't wait to just win. And I was winning souls and I was doing that, but I felt like, no, you're gonna lead a church. You're gonna be a pastor. And I waited and waited. And it was a 3-year wait, I think it was. And we had no idea the time frame. And honestly, it got to the place where it's like, whatever, I don't care. I'm just gonna love God. I'm gonna get everybody saved. I'm around. I'm gonna lay hands on the sick. It does not matter. And God sort of changed things for me. And he said, just make the whole world your pulpit, son. And we did. And there's a lot of stories in there in that process. Now I remember receiving a call to pastor a church. It was a large facility in a small congregation, and the power of God was resting on us. And we received this call and salary and gonna move us and all these incredible promises. I mean, it was like my dream being handed to me. I'll never forget it. It was just like, oh my God, yes, this is God. I've told the story before. I went into Dr. Morocco and I told him what happened, and I remember him looking at me saying, well, it's nice to be wanted. I said, amen. Well, what do you think? He says, yeah, it's not God. I thought, what? He said, yeah, Daniel, it's not God. I said, are you sure? He says, yes, I'm sure it's not God. And I thought, I mean, instantly I'm thinking, he just wants me to work for him. Oh, I needed healing, like some of you. And I thought, I know him better than that. And I said, well, how do you know? He says, Daniel, it's not God. You just need to put it out of your mind. You need to trust me, it's not God. I thought, okay. Well, I walked out, tormented. I should have been more honest with him, like, I don't trust you. I don't believe what you're saying. I should have said all of that, but I would do that, you know, now. But then I was like, yes, sure. Yes, sure. And I walked out and I'm thinking, what? That's like everything I was praying for. How could this not be God? For 30 days, I was tormented by what I know now to be a demon spirit and a spirit of witchcraft. And I didn't know it then. I didn't know it. I couldn't sleep because I had planning revivals. I'm paint changing the paint color of the church, different people that could maybe come with me. I was dreaming about a revival and all this stuff. Oh, I was just dreaming about it. And finally, I realized I'm tormented because I'm not disobeying my pastor. I know enough about the word that I know that he loves me and doesn't want anything from me. I'm going to trust him. And I thought, but man, there's something wrong. So I went in and my dream of being in full-time ministry was right there, and I've let it go, and now I'm bitter. I go and I talk to him, and I'll never forget what happened. He was studying, and he's looking over his glasses. He looks over his glasses at me as I'm telling the story. You know that church? He goes, yeah. I said, and you know, you said it wasn't God? He said, yes. I said, I can't get it out of my mind. I dream about it every night, and he just stands up. Shoppa, choppa. I was like, ah! And he just reaches across his desk and engulfs my head with his giant hand. And then he's praying, and like he guides me around his desk and just breaks this thing off of me, and it's like, snap, something broke. And I was suddenly free and clear, and I realized, oh my gosh. He said, it's witchcraft, Daniel, it's witchcraft. And I prayed and I wept and I cried. There's so much more to the story because there was so much entangled into that that I had longed for. I wept and cried and I let it go. I find myself standing before you humbly, standing before you, humbled before the Lord, that he's fulfilled every dream in my life. I have a few more, but I'm not gonna quit. And if you quit, and if you try to preempt God and get him to do things quicker than what you want, then you'll end up with your dream and not his. And you can make an Ishmael. You can make an Ishmael. Don't do it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.